What is going down, everyone? It's time for the hype. Episode number 189. I can't believe we've done 189 episodes, guys. We are the hardest working sports card content creators in the hobby. Every week, every Wednesday, you can guarantee there's going to be a hype podcast. We may not be on time all the time, but that's because we're perfecting our craft, giving you guys the content. Me and Dan have been doing content since 2010, right? Has it been 2010 we can talk about sports cards?
On time, all the time, never the time.
So make sure you guys smash that subscribe. I mean, we need some more people over our Mojo Break Media channel. We need to climb that thing to 10,000. And we got the special 200 show in 11 episodes, so we're gonna be doing some. We're gonna be doing some crazy stuff.
Probably gonna be giving away the business.
Yeah, hey, they're gonna hold you to that. But we are gonna be giving away a box of Score Football today for you guys that do like giveaways. So stay tuned on how you can get yourself this Score Football that has four autos, Score Hobby Box. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Target and Walmart may not be carrying trading cards anymore, and people are sad.
Are they?
There's a lot of whining babies out there right now. There's a lot of people upset. And we're going to go over some of the things that we've seen on the internet, and we're going to discuss that. We're going to talk about the new releases. We're going to talk about UFC Prism. We're going to talk about F1. Lots to talk about in episode number 189. C-Rad, what's going down, man?
What's up, everybody? How's everybody's week?
My week's been good, man.
Dramatic pause.
I was like, we're waiting for the audience to get back to you on that.
Yeah, we'll hold on for that. I mean, we've had some. What do you think of UFC? Before we get into UFC, how much do you like UFC Prism?
How much do I like?
I mean, on a 1 to 10 scale.
As a big UFC fan, it's a very exciting product for me personally to rip. I'm happy to see that people love it so much. You know, it's exciting that people are actually getting into UFC breaks, because we tried for I say it on the stream all the time as I'm doing the break. We tried for a very, very long time to have UFC even become a small thing, not necessarily a big thing. Like, we didn't want to do UFC breaks all day, right? But I was trying to fill one break here and there with Topps UFC products,
be able to talk some shop, about the fights and stuff like that.
Exactly. But you know, like, now, obviously, it's not just sports cars that are blowing up. UFC has been also, on the rise as well in popularity. So it's nice that more people enjoy the sport. It's something that I've been watching for a long time, and I love talking about it. So
it's crazy. The other day, I think Monday, we had six different sports that we broke, and we didn't do soccer, and we didn't do golf. So we literally have a schedule on our website, mojobreak.com. Get your break spots there, where we'd be doing eight different sports. I mean, we barely, when we started, we were only doing like baseball and football, and struggled to fill basketball back in 2011. So we came a long way on doing breaks. The sports card hobby's coming a long way. So, Dan, what's going down there? You're about to throw your phone against the wall.
I just don't know how to use Instagram, and it hurts my feelings.
Can we get an Instagram training for Dan?
Social media, man.
So if you double click a photo, even in a DM, it likes it. Just learn that.
Yeah. You liked it. Yeah.
Who knows? How do you know that? Now the person.
Now you know. Now you'll never forget.
Now the person knows I read it.
Yeah, why didn't you respond?
I'm on the hook.
Question mark.
I'm on the hook.
Yeah. One of my biggest pet peeves is when somebody asks you a question, and then you don't get a chance to respond, and then they send you question marks afterwards.
Oh yeah, that in general just is.
It's
is
the
a little
same
pet
thing
peeve.
As like all caps.
It is. It's along the same lines.
That's not just a social media thing. That's like a pet peeve, like in the chat room or in a text.
It's like, hello.
Give me a chance to answer, right?
Yeah.
Hello.
Dan, don't forget also Instagram.
Oh, I already gave up. I deleted the app from my phone.
There's another section where it's not DMs. It's like the DMs within the DMs. Hmm. For those that haven't been paying attention, T-Pain recently just discovered this section of Instagram. He was like, that's where all these people have been, all these celebrities and other musicians have been hitting me up to do like collaborations and stuff. It was like it was like 150, 200 people that he didn't respond to for 3 years because he didn't know that the section existed.
We had that problem too. there was a very prolific person.
And to think the resurgence that T-Pain could have had in his career if he would have just got those DMs.
He could be buying.
Well, he did a whole Instagram show apologizing to all those people.
He could have been buying Shouty a drink, you know.
Shouty. Yeah, it's a learning curve. I'm still learning.
Yeah, we had a prolific person that sent us a DM about getting into breaks that we didn't know the DM existed, just like you just figured out, or just like you were saying. And yeah, we're like, oh my God, there has been people trying to get a hold of us on Instagram for years, and I didn't see it. So.
I had to Google a person. I didn't know who it was.
Yeah. Very prolific.
It's just not my demographic, but you know. So score football.
Yeah.
Unlike any other year I've ever seen. The demand's hot. It's hot.
It is.
It's hot.
I mean, we're sold out of all of our randoms even tomorrow for score. Probably Friday, too. That's this box. It's going to contain four autographs, and it's the first product of the 2021 rookie class. So you got Trevor Lawrence. You got the great Trey Lance. You've got Zach Wilson. You've got Lamar Chase. You've got Leatherface for the Raiders.
What?
And don't
Leatherwood.
Leatherwood. Sorry.
And if you're like, man, like, last year's rookie class was so good, I'd love to see a bunch of second-year autos of those guys. You will. Don't worry. Too. It's in there for you. Chase Claypool, the Michael Pirine, you know, all those guys back at it. You're not going to just throw those stickers
like
away.
Like I never left.
Yep.
So, but I get it. Doug gets it. Conrad gets it. I mean, you still have that content. You got to put it in the product, right?
Yep. And we were clamoring for this new release, and this is the first one. 40 cards per pack, 10 packs. You're getting 400 cards per hobby box with four autos at the low price point of $375 at major online retailers. MojoBreakShop.com has a limited amount. MojoBreakShop.com, not to be confused.
Watch out when you quote the price right now.
It's lower than the major online retailer.
There you go.
It's lower than what I just said.
You might
want to go check for yourself, though. MojoBreakShop.com. App coming soon for that website
must
as well.
Must be something behind that.
No, because I think the original price that it was posted at and the price that it's at right now are two different prices because it flew off the site at the other price.
So
I have a feeling you guys went too low then.
Oh, we usually do. I mean, I'm not saying that we're similar to Target or Walmart. I'm not saying that. But if you have a need for sports cards, I know where to get them at a low, low price.
And you could buy more than one, and you don't have to wait in a line.
Get in your digital queue.
Now, is there stuff for $20? Probably not. But you can make sure you get your bag. You can secure the bag from our website.
You can buy packs.
In the shop. No,
in the shop.
Website.
Don't try to do it online. Doesn't happen. Can't ship packs.
But yes, this is the highest price box for score that we've ever seen. I mean, these were usually around, you know, in 16, 17, 15.
Buck 10, buck 20.
Yeah, $120. And yeah, and there's some people in the chat saying, you know, in 3 months, people probably won't remember score. And
absolutely.
That probably is true. But, you know, when you have an itch and you need to scratch it, you don't want to wait 3 to 4 months. And that's what score does for you. It gives you those rookie cards. And some people do like the progression of their rookie. Me, as you know, the fan of the GOAT, Trey Lance, I'll get his, you know, Bison card. And then I'll slowly progress to get him in his Niner uniform, which will come in a couple months, right? So some people like to PC those guys. They get those cards and chase those rookies.
And I will say this. Unlike basketball, football collectors, there's a lot more collegiate football collectors than there are basketball collegiate collectors.
Yeah.
By far.
I think you're right. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, college football, I think, is bigger in the trading card hobby than any of the other college sports. I mean, college baseball is like almost a joke, right? I mean, there's not a lot of guys buying those collegiate draft picks and stuff like that.
I mean, there's a lot of people who pay attention to it. Yeah, there's a lot of fans
and
of collegiate baseball.
That's why there's good value in those contenders draft baseball.
The College World Series is must-watch TV. It's great stuff.
And there is some college releases. You'll see Contenders, which should be coming out within the next few months. Contenders Draft.
Prism Draft.
And Prism Draft. And those tend to hold their value pretty well. I mean, if you get a 101 Lawrence and stuff like that, you're going to do pretty well. I'm sure the Lawrence autos right now are going to go for more than you would think. But it's probably one of those situations.
A lot more than you'd think.
It's one of those situations that unless you're in love with Trevor Lawrence, then you probably are going to want to sell it at the moment you pull it because you're probably not going to get more 3 to 4 months down the road.
Is that a Joey Lawrence reference?
From the Great Blossom. Aging myself there. Most people are like, what are you talking about? So if you pull a Trevor Lawrence or any of these big name guys out of the gate, probably you probably want to flip it if you're in that type of game. If you're just collecting, then yeah, you don't really care. But if you're in the business of like, hey, I'm going to try to cash out when it's at its peak, I think Score is one of those products we got a few months before all the other releases come out and people start to gravitate towards those first. So, you know, that's how it is. So are you excited to rip some Score today?
Yeah, I am. I am. I know that this draft class is very hype, so I'm excited to give people some Trevor Lawrence. Give the people their Lawrence.
That's right. And, I mean, more importantly, Trey Lance as well. That's what everybody should be chasing.
I think you've mentioned Trey Lance at least 10 times this podcast.
I mean, look at that
Scrub.
Auto. Look at that auto.
Scrub.
It's great.
Scrub.
At least 10 times, bro. Can we talk about the Jets quarterback? What about him?
Zach Wilson.
Could be good. I mean, the Jets need a face for the franchise. Your boy Sam Darnold, the Pokemon collector, out the door. Out the door. He's in Carolina.
And Taylor Swift lover.
Oh, that's right.
As am I.
Yep. C-Rad, actually, there's a video on, I don't think it's on Mojo Break Media, but it might be.
It has to be.
No, it's on Mojo Break YouTube.
It's on Mojo Break YouTube.
And C-Rad broke with Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold, man. Yep. That's my guy.
Yeah. It was good. You guys talked about Pokemon before the hype, too. I mean, that was nobody collected Pokemon.
I was seeing into the future, dude.
That was like a common thing, though, especially that year. A lot of the guys you sat down with,
they didn't collect. They were right in that age group.
They collected Pokemon. Was it Traquan Smith?
Yep.
Also a Pokemon collector.
Traquan. I don't think Josh Allen was. Saquon, though, was a Pokemon collector.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, that was definitely that demographic there. Young Cody's age group, they collected Pokemon more than they collected sports cards. So I was a little too old at that time to collect Pokemon, so it passed me by.
Yeah, it was. I was right in that age group too. That year was fun though. We went to the rookie premiere, man. That was such a fun event. I was reminiscing. I was looking at the pictures of that event actually just like a couple weeks ago. I was in there with the.
Did you go to two of them?
I only went to one. It was that one, and then I went to the basketball one.
But I went to both of them with you. I was there for the basketball and.
You went to all of them.
I went to everyone.
I would say
what am I saying?
Just a little tidbit. You know, obviously you guys know me as more of the basketball guy, but I actually had more fun at the football event. Those kids are a little bit more
upbeat. Dude, it's so hot, dude.
Remember bouncing.
Yeah.
Remember how hot it was? And then we turned down the 2019 basketball photo shoot because it was too close to the national, and that was Luca's year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not a guarantee you would have broken them, but hey, you would have had a better chance of not going.
Yeah.
Good chance.
And then Zion
year
didn't invite nobody because it was Zion.
And we'll see if they you know, with what's going on in the world, we'll see if we even have those.
I think that will be one of the last things to come back are the rookie photo shoots or any type of industry event. I don't think there's going to be a VIP party this year by anybody. I know Upper Deck also does like a VIP party that we've never gone to, but I've heard it exists. At least at the national, I think, and then obviously Panini's VIP party. I don't foresee that happening, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, and a little bit of an update. I don't know if it's as much of an update because we're still hanging on until June. We talked about the national last week, and I think June 1st is the day where they're going to announce what's going on. From what I've heard a little bit more about the Chicago Auto Show is, and I'm just kind of throwing out numbers here in comparison. There may not be the exact number, but I think they have a venue that's 10 to 20 times the size of the national.
It's a car show.
A car show,
like sports cars, auto, like Lamborghinis.
Auto show. So they have half of it outside, half of it inside, but I think they have about 10 times the amount of
space.
And I think they're allowing 10,000. So if you do the math, it seems like the national, if they're abiding by the same rules and regulations they're making the auto show follow, you're looking at possibly like 3,000 to 5,000 people, which would be probably a pretty big problem. So, and I don't know. This is just pure speculation. We won't know anything to June 1st, but it just makes you wonder. It makes me cringe at the fact that I think there might be people waiting outside to get into the national all day and not be able to get in. I don't know if the national, and it may be hot. I mean, it was hot last time we were there in 19. It's going to be hot, and you're going to be standing outside. And there's only a limited amount of shade at the Donald Stevenson Center. Once you go out into the street, it's just you're in the sun. So
there's like the roundabout.
That's what I'm saying. But that, if they, you had 10,000 people in line, it's going to go all the way out toward the Hilton and stuff.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So you're going to be sitting in the sun baking it. And you're gonna then you're going to get people that are very angry.
We were talking about it. I don't even know if we are going to get our typical dealer badges. And honestly, we used to get kind of an unlimited amount of them. Like, they would just be like, how many you want? Those dealer badges will probably be worth like $4,000 to $5,000 a piece, because that will get you in every day early and a lot of times later. So like, you're just going to be able to be in there the whole time. So do you think there's going to be any dealers selling their badges off?
Could be. It might be a go for a premium, this Dutch auction.
No, I think you can put a price tag of maybe at least a couple grand.
I think if they were smart, what they have to do is they have to sell the tickets online ahead of time for the amount of people that they can allow in. And now that's going to suck, because it's going to cause a lot of people have already booked their hotel rooms. I know most of them you can cancel within 24 to 48 hours of arriving, but most people have booked their hotel rooms that are planning on going. If they have to funnel everybody in to get tickets on a website, a lot of people are going to be shut out.
What if they space out the attendance and where you would be able to get like the whole national like pass, where it would get you in like every single day, Thursday through Sunday? What if they don't have that and you could only get one day? Like, the max you can get is one day. And you could only, I mean, them having more than 5,000 people in there at a time, I think it's going to be like south of that. I think it's going to be less than 5,000.
Right, unless things change.
I don't think it's going to be north of 5,000.
Things are changing daily, but a lot of people are traveling. So would you travel from where we're at? Like, we have to go for work.
But
would you travel to go one day?
There isn't. Majority of the people who go to the National, I feel, are already in that area. They're probably either an hour flight or maybe even like a 6-hour drive.
Yeah, those people.
But there isn't a huge population from like California that's flying out.
Right.
How many people every year at the National do you run into that you know are from California?
Well, I don't ask everybody.
But very little, though.
Yeah.
You've been around the industry for a while. You know who's in your hood.
Is Chicago a blue or a red state?
I'm not sure. Cody?
Blue.
Okay.
All right. I was going to say blue. I wasn't 100% sure. There's probably, like everywhere else, there's probably both. There's probably like blue parts, red parts. I want to say Chicago as a whole is probably typically a blue area. I don't know.
We talking about Bloods and Crimson?
don't wear Jordans around there. I'll tell you that much.
They definitely will not let you in the. Actually, it wasn't a. Let's be honest.
It was a taco bar.
It was a taco bar. It was a cantina.
I was not allowed in with Jordans.
And
this was like 5 years ago. I'm 38.
A little bit
this
more
was like
of a
5 years
club,
ago.
A little bit more of a club vibe than you would get at Chili's.
Mm-hmm.
It was like
Illinois. Yes, Chicago is not a state. You're correct. I meant Illinois. Dang, I didn't know Chicago wasn't a state. Darn it.
But yeah, don't wear Jordans.
Don't wear Jordans. So we'll see. You know, I hope that everybody can go. We haven't seen all of each other, you know, from different parts of the country in a while. So it'd be nice to see everybody and, you know, get together and do what we do. But we'll see.
Talk trading cards.
But now it's time for the giveaway. So what you got to do, and this is 2021 score, we're going to give this away to one lucky entry. What you got to do is you got to wait till this video is uploaded on Mojo Break Media, and we want to know what rookie you are collecting from the 2021 rookie class.
Trevor Lawrence.
Well, of course. Which rookie are you collecting? And then we'll nominate a winner on next week's show, number 190. Don't comment in here on Mojo Break. Comment on Mojo Break Media's YouTube channel on this video of this show, and we'll pick some winners. So,
Even if they're not collecting Trey Lance, they're going to put Trey Lance.
Trey Lance?
Yeah, they're going to put Trey Lance.
Mm.
Why? You think over Trevor Lawrence?
Because you're going to pick the winner.
Oh, that's random.org.
You're a homer. You're going to be like, Of course I'm going to say Trey Lance because that's who Doug's going to pick.
Well, I do random.org. I mean, random.org might favor Trey Lance.
We'll pick the person that picks Leatherwood.
Leatherface?
Tutu Atwell.
Tutu Atwell. So, yeah, check that out. We also have another new release this week that it's been 5 years in the making, 5 years of waiting for golf. Golf is back. And it's at a crazy price point. Boxes are going for Artifacts Golf, which comes out today, 2021. Artifacts Golf is somewhere around $1,000 a box. You get three hits. Bryson DeChambeau makes his rookie card appearance, which I guess you can kind of say he's the Zion of golf at the moment, or the LaMelo of golf at the moment.
Or the Trevor Lawrence of golf.
Or the Trevor Lawrence. But this guy's actually won a major, Bryson DeChambeau. And Colin Morikawa is in here, and he's won a major. His rookie cards are in here. And there's a bunch of other guys that I don't know of as a casual golf fan. Mm-hmm. But, of course, you got Tiger Woods. You know, you've got Jack Nicklaus has got autos. You got some Arnold Palmer relics. It would be cool if they threw some of the iced tea in there, but, you know, that's a whole other thing. Greg Norman, the Sharks, he's in there. And they've got diamond cards. It's eight packs a box, four cards. You get 32 cards in the box. And you got a chance at some of these awesome cards we're showing on the screen. Tiger Woods, only place you can get Tiger Woods autos is with Upper Deck. And all these new rookies. So the demand is, we did three breaks. They sold out as fast as I could possibly imagine. We have some more of those coming up at mojobreak.com. But golf, just when we thought nothing else could get hot, golf is somewhat hot. What are your thoughts, Dan?
Waiting for cornhole, or what we were talking about in the chat, the face slapping league cards. That's what I'm waiting for. I mean, if UFC does well, then the face slapping league would probably do well as well.
Best slapper, right?
No.
That would be funny.
Or what about boxing? Are we going to get a boxing license?
I think there's so many different leagues for boxing, right? That it's just hard to get them all under the umbrella of one product.
Yeah, that'd be tough. Yeah, exactly to what you're saying. There's so many different, I don't know if you call them leagues, but there's so many different boxing companies that it's like you'd have to get a whole bunch of licenses if you want to put them all into one product.
I guess you kind of see that with soccer.
How about a hot dog eating championship cards? I mean, there is the most prolific champion.
Well,
of
I would
sports.
Say that, like, we right here in San Jose are...
We have the inn.
Yeah.
We have two of the greatest.
The hotbed. We have actually the greatest to ever do it. Both of them.
Yeah. I mean, Joey Chestnut is the greatest champion in American sports history.
And
does he have a rookie card? I think we're onto something here.
And Stoney, right?
And Matt Stoney, who's won, I think, one. He's the only one to beat Mr. Chestnut.
Are you guys talking about a hot dog eating contest?
Yeah.
Just competitive eating in general. We don't. Yeah. It just doesn't need to be a hot dog.
That's
it
true.
Could be anything.
Be anything, yeah.
Competitive eating. I. You know, I mean, we could have it done here in San Jose.
Yeah.
We could have like a national centered around just that. Just
well,
come
you know,
on down.
We have something. We have something for those guys. It's called Good to Win Champions by Upper Deck.
They do, and I think Joey Chestnut was in Ginter.
I think Stoney was in Ginter. And I think he was at the Panini VIP party one year.
He was, yeah. Yeah, I talked to him.
And we were on a flight with him at one point.
That was true. Yeah,
completely separate event.
Yeah. Yeah, so a hot dog eating contest. I mean, what does he have, like 19 championships now or something? It's like unheard of. I mean,
Joey Chestnut, and he's the GOAT.
He's the greatest.
He's the GOAT.
He's the greatest champion of all time. I mean, nobody's Bill Russell.
I didn't know he won that many championships.
I think it's 19. I know it's more than any other sports athlete of all time. So,
but again, it's like that is just the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. He has won
all kind of eating contests.
Tons of contests. Yeah. He's the GOAT.
Yeah.
The best to ever do it.
Yeah, so that's crazy. So, yeah, make sure you guys get in that contest for that score. We're going to talk the main topic of the show here. No more cards at big retailers. This news broke today. You guys might have been following the fights. Somebody got a gun pulled on them. There was lines outside. They've been trying to modify the way people buy cards at Target and Walmart. They've modified it several times where they've made people stand in line on Friday at 8 a.m. They've They've limited people to just one box. They've limited people to three. They have ghost chair rules, which I didn't know was a thing. I guess people set up at these events and get there at like 4 a.m, put their chair down, go home and sleep, and come back.
That's the ghost chair thing is something that dates back to like the history of waiting in line for anything, whether it be shoes, whether it be video games, whether it be whatever. Like, people have done that forever.
What if somebody just came and stole your chair?
Well, the ghost chair only works when you have somebody else there with you. And you guys take turns being there.
I thought they just left it, like, here's my ghost chair, and then I'm just going to go home.
No.
Because you're going to come back, and I'm pretty sure someone's just going to...
Yes, that person behind you has
They're going to kick your chair out of the way and be like...
Yeah, why would I wait, and the guy in front of me gets to go home and sleep?
So, yeah, it's a friend thing. One guy goes home, then they come back and...
So you work in shifts.
In shifts, yeah.
Yeah, and then you get more wax that way. Yeah, there was I mean, I'm part of some of these forums here locally where it's a group of guys, and, you know, we've been breaking cards since 2010. So in 2010, nobody cared about retail, and nobody cared about retail up until about 2020. So there's a whole group of collectors that's their world. Their world is getting the best price on blasters, getting hangers, scoring, flipping, making money, living that life, flipping life, you know. The flipper, you know, that's the new thing, and it's been quite the violent outrage at some of these events, and to the point now where you see these signs that are posted at Target to ensure the safety of guests and team members. Effective May 14th, MLB, NFL, NBA, and Pokemon trading cards will no longer be sold in stores until further notice. You can see here, same thing. Note to ensure that more stores have done it. You can see this thing from Walmart here. The trading card categories have been removed from the sale floor. I mean, they're scared. A couple bad apples have ruined it for the rest of us. You know, and honestly, this is not their business is not to sell trading cards. Their business is to sell toilet paper, food, and all that other stuff. So they could give an F about trading cards. If it's going to cause them more drama than it is, then they're not going to carry it. So. Target confirms end of card in an internal letter here. So it says, the product that is already shipped may arrive. Keep in secure location with camera coverage. So employees might get to this. So, like, let's put the cards in the safe. Let's put it on the Nest Cam or whatever security cameras we got. We got to make sure that this does not get disrupted. And
sounds like you can get hockey cards, right?
Yeah, so this is the
weird
thing.
Also sounds like you can get some Yu-Gi-Oh!
UFC.
We're still good.
NHL, NASCAR, UFC, and Magic. Now, the UFC is puzzling because the same groups I'm talking to you guys that I'm part of, they're out there flipping the UFC because the UFC is valuable. Obviously, NASCAR is not worth anything, so nobody's going to buy that stuff. But, hockey sells a little bit. But NASCAR, nobody really cares. But UFC is pretty hot, so it's surprising that they haven't pulled the UFC. Maybe because it's too new? They don't think people are buying UFC?
They don't know how hot it is because we just got that product. They saw their sales percentages probably from when they had Topps UFC.
Yeah, that's probably it. Or maybe Dana White was like, you don't do that. You don't pull my product.
Yeah, Dana White can come down there and smack you upside the head, slap contest. So at the bottom, they actually have guest speaking points. So this isn't a forever thing, as far as we know, based on this statement. Why are you no longer selling select trading cards? It says, due to demand for these cards has continued to pose safety risks for our guests and team members, so we are temporarily pausing the selling of MLB, NFL, NBA, and Pokemon trading cards. Continue to check back for updates. They also could be selling it on their website. They haven't said anything about pulling the plug on selling it on their website.
Probably sell on the site. But, I mean, then that's probably where all of it's going to go, which, why wouldn't you?
Like, right. Easier.
Yeah. You're, honestly, as a Target and Walmart, you're making the same amount of money. You're selling it for the same amount. So why would you not sell it online?
Right. Well, shipping. You're talking about a $20 item you have to ship now, so your margins are a little bit lower. Unless they raise the price a little bit.
They can actually, I don't understand why they don't look at the market value of it and just raise the price and sell it for market. That's a $150 blaster on eBay. Why not sell it for $150?
Dutch auction. Keep going down until it sells, right? Start it off high. Pitch them high, watch them buy. Old sales technique. Statement from Panini saying, and I think this was before this week, but...
It was.
It's certainly no secret the unprecedented explosion, blah, blah, blah. Current behind the scenes, Target and Walmart continue to. So, yeah, this was before the news.
This was posted on their blog. It should, I believe, May 10th.
Okay.
For clarification.
Okay,
May 10th.
Okay. Yeah, so this was before that they May 14th letter went out, which got posted in stores today. And you could see why. So there was a man pulled a gun in a trading card related attack in a parking lot. Police respond to a fighting target where a man pulled a gun during a scuffle over trading cards. Popular retailer Target has had enough of Pokemon trading card game scalpers. Following a drastic overhaul of their policy, the store is now willing to call the police on relentless Nintendo collectible sellers. What does that mean? And then there's actually people that are busting. They're actually putting the cereal boxes that have Pokemon cards. They're putting the tamper proof on the cereal boxes. I guess. Yes. yeah. So
I didn't see that, dude.
Yeah. So they, you know, because people actually were opening up the boxes of cereal to get the packs out in store.
Dude, they were just trying to taste the Lucky Charms, bro.
They're just getting the marshmallows.
They're trying
out.
To get you know how it is when you're walking around a Safeway and you're like, I could really go for some of those freeze dried marshmallows out of the Lucky Charms. You just take a handful. They're not looking for the cards, man.
Well, why are the cards missing?
I am dead.
I bet they got at least a handful of Lucky Charms, though.
But
yeah, I mean, you're already in the box.
DJ Casper Zach, my sixth cousin, is he basically cleared the air today, saying, "This is DJ. He's the president of sales, VP of sales for Panini America. There's a ton of misinformation swirling around our industry today. There's a surprise." He put in quote put in parentheses. "This is not a permanent decision. How do I know? ? I met with the Target buyer yesterday, but the bottom line is there's a few bad apples that have spoiled the whole bunch for now. So that doesn't mean there's not going to be any cards at Target. They're just going to make it probably really hard for any of this shenanigans to happen, whether it be sold online, my opinion, or somewhere in a secure area where you have to get a Target employee to come help you."
Well done. This is why we can't have nice things.
We can't have nice things.
This is why.
It's crazy because on the stream this weekend, I think it was either Saturday or Sunday, I was, you know, like, obviously the Walmart thing came out first last week where they were like, because of customer behavior, they were pulling all the cards from the store floor. And I was saying on the stream this week, and I was like, you know, it's only a matter of time before Target follows suit, and then it's only a matter of time before everything is just going to be sold online.
Dude, if I was a store manager of Target or Walmart, I would be like, I don't want to deal with this. Like, I want these out right now.
Yeah.
Like, jobs
that's
hard.
That's
job,
extra drama. That
job,
they
job's
deal
hard
with.
Enough. Like, I don't want to have to worry about
somebody getting gun pulled on
somebody
them.
Getting a gun pulled on them, or like you have a fight in like one of the aisles
in the
or
cereal
you gotta,
in this freaking cereal aisle because somebody wanted to open up the Lucky Charms first.
Somebody's opened like 38 boxes of Fruit Loops.
You know what they should have done, which would have been entertaining? It may not have been healthy, but maybe they would be like, come in here. We should have done this. You can get as many Pokemon packs for free, but you have to eat each box of cereal to get it. How many boxes of cereal?
Yeah, but I think somebody can, like, get sick that
that's
way.
True. That'd be a lot of sugar, especially on Lucky Charms. A lot of marshmallow. A lot of marshmallow action. I took a step back this morning and I thought about this, and we can have a conversation. If they do continue to stop having cards in store, this can affect the future of our hobby, and I'll tell you why. Yes, the flippers, we all hate them. You know, the people that are making that quick buck. But what about the kid that went in there with his father? His father went in there to buy, I don't know, some bread or some eggs. And you know what? He remembered collecting trading cards as a kid, so he takes his 7, 8, 9-year-old son down the trading card aisle, and they buy a $20 blaster of Topps Flagship. They can't do that now. So
they wouldn't, but they couldn't do that right now anyway.
They couldn't do it anyway.
But like, I know what you're saying. Like, go back to 2015, 2014.
That's how a lot of people rediscovered the hobby.
That's how everybody rediscovered. You go into Walmart, you go into Target, and you'd be like, oh, look, cards. And then it would actually be something like that would trigger something that you would have purchased as a kid, like Diamond Kings. Diamond Kings, Donruss Diamond Kings was something that you remember collecting as a kid, so you're going to buy that blaster.
Yeah.
So it gets you back into the hobby. But for the last like 3-4 years, nothing existed. So you couldn't really do that anyway.
Yeah.
Everybody, if they wanted the product bad enough, they know the different outlets that they could find it.
Yeah. And somebody on the stream this weekend pointed out, they're like, 'cause I was talking about it And sports cards, yes. Sports cards, that we're far past, like we're way past where like a kid can walk into a store and buy sports cards, right? But for me, the really part I felt actually sad about, and the guy in the stream was like, "You don't feel sad for kids." I was like, "Bro, Pokemon, that is a kid's thing."
Yeah.
That is a kid's thing, dude. Yep. Like, and kids can't go in the store and buy it anymore.
No.
That's still mostly played by kids. They're not obviously kids are not collecting like the high value cards anymore, but the kids are the ones that still play that game with their friends.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that some people point out to the reason that the whole problem was on the Pokemon, the so-called thugs or whatever you want to call them, the people that were starting fights, wasn't necessarily on sports cards. It was on Pokemon. So I don't know if that's true, but I know. A lot of people, especially when the Champions Path Elite Trainers and the Shining Fates came out, like when they were having people waiting in line, and there was lines of 50, 60 people deep, right? And there was a lot of conspiracy of those lines. A lot of these guys were in line, the distributor had told them, or the Excel marketing rep had his guys in the front, all this conspiracy talk that led to aggression, that led to anger, that led to, like, I used to be able to get 10 Pokemon boxes. I can only get one, and now I might not be able to get one, so I'm upset, and if you talk back to me, I'm going to do something because I'm upset, right? And
what about me?
But I mean,
I should have wore that shirt today.
What about me? I know. And that's the entitlement, and it's sad. I mean, it is sad, like you just said. I mean, sports cards and Pokemon, like some people won't walk into a hobby shop because it's overwhelming, even if they had one in their area, and a lot of areas don't have hobby shops. They won't walk into the hobby shop, but they may know about cards. Maybe they know somebody that has a Michael Jordan rookie or whatever, and they may want to dabble a little bit in cards. If they can't see it at Target and can be reminded about them, they're probably never going to get in this hobby.
Right.
Because that is the biggest, most – everybody has a Target. No matter where you live, there's a Target or a Walmart.
Yeah, and people go in
there –
no
matter where you live.
People can go in there and buy other things that they need too, right? It's not just – not coming into a sports car store, like, you know, like, exactly what you're – like,
you can't get your cereal and toilet paper at the Mojo.
So that's why
card
it
shop.
Might be intimidating too, because, like, people are at Target. Okay, well, I got to pick up this and that. Maybe I'll check out this the sports car section. Like, we don't – at a sports card-only store, it's like you kind of – You know, it's that's why I can see it being intimidating. You're right. Like, they got to come
in. Yeah, I mean, we
see
it with people. That's probably why people don't walk in here. I mean, a lot of times, you know, like on a Monday or a Tuesday, there's nobody in here. So you walk in here, you're being, you know, we're looking. We're trying to help. You can't just casually look, go on your phone. You know, you feel the pressure of being forced to buy, regardless if we're trying to push you to buy, which we don't. But you're going to be like, this guy's – I feel like I have to buy something. So
or,
a lot of people avoid that.
Or you feel
that
completely
–
overwhelmed because you're not sure what you're looking right. for, and there's like so many things to choose from. Obviously the people who work at the shop like know the stuff inside and out, and you don't want to seem like a noob. Remember that word? People noob. Still use that, that
yeah
word?
People still use thing? That
but it's like that with any like hobby shop, industry, anything. Like you go into a guitar shop, it's kind of the same thing. You go into like a place that you build like
shop,
you build like you know RC cars and stuff like that. Like you don't know anything, you're gonna be overwhelmed. You don't know the correct questions to ask. Like you know people who like drone shops, like stuff like that. You're not gonna know anything about it, so like you're gonna be less inclined to jump in.
Yeah. There's no pressure at a place
you're a
like
newbie,
Target
yeah,
or Walmart.
I mean,
but on
so
the,
there is pressure for
on
sure.
the flip side of that conversation, though, the one positive that may come out about this is if those people do decide to take the leap into a hobby shop, they are going to get educated.
Yes,
I feel like a lot of people that went to Target, they didn't know what to buy. They were great. These are the guys that are grading the you know the Klay Thompson mosaic from this year, or you know what I mean, like something that's not worth to be graded. They graded because they didn't know. They only know their knowledge from Target and their friends that may not know knowledge either.
And Instagram.
You go into our shop, you go into any shop across America, they're going to tell you what's popular, what you should do, should you grade this card, all this stuff. They're going to be knowledgeable on the hobby. So that would be the one positive I could see is if take the leap, go into a shop, and hobby boxes are going to have a lot better odds. Yes, they are more expensive than your $20 blasters. But if you bought 10 $20 blasters of Prism and you bought one, you know, whatever hobby box of certain Prism, you're going to have a chance to get those better odds and those guarantees. You're going to be guaranteed autos in hobby boxes. You're going to be guaranteed certain parallels in hobby boxes, which you're not guaranteed in the retail SKUs that you see at these Targets and stuff like that. So, that might be the good thing that comes of this. I don't think that Target and Walmart completely pull the plug. but it's definitely going to be modified. It was so concerning to the point where they stopped selling the product for now to come up with a game plan. So we'll see what that game plan will entail.
I think this is a temporary solution. I think it's a temporary solution, and I think they're going to put most of the product online. I think they're still gonna buy the product. They're still going to sell the product. They're just not going to sell it in-house anymore, in the shop.
Right.
In the store.
So then you got the whole bot argument going on.
You got the whole bot. But you know what? And this is going to be a bad take. Target and Walmart don't care if you buy with a bot. If anything, it's easier money and an easier way to facilitate the transaction. If I'm a shipping manager for Walmart.com and we have 100,000, you know, inventory of said blaster, and I only have to ship the 100,000 stock to 100 people instead of shipping it to 80,000 people or like 90,000, I don't care. If anything, like, my job just got easier because there's a handful of really big spenders who bought my stock.
Right.
If anything, they probably look at it and go, I'd prefer if one person bought all of it.
Definitely would be easy.
And that's why I don't think they're going to take the precautions to stop the bots from Walmart and Target.
Yeah.
They're making the same amount of money regardless. They don't care if it goes to one person or 100 people.
You don't think there's any chance? I mean, this is a very, very slim chance that Panini goes, you know what? Like, we've got a lot more card shops opening up now.
I think
there's no opportunity for card shops to get more stock at this point.
I think what,
or they could, you know,
I think what Panini should do is boost up their e-commerce presence and sell the product directly through their site.
Yeah.
Or sell it to their distributors.
So Dutch Auction on blasters?
Not necessarily. Just put them up at, you know, whatever price you want to put them up at and just sell them. Yeah. They do it with every other release. They did it with Score today or yesterday. It was up there.
But you're probably talking about adding 30% to 40% more per year of stuff to ship, which means they would have
But they're cutting out the middleman, and they're selling it straight to the consumer, and they can price it at whatever they want to price it at.
Right.
And they could actually take a longer time to sell through it, but they could be making such a higher margin on it.
Right. Right. Makes sense. We'll see. I don't think they get rid of Target and Walmart. I think that's where they want to be. I think that's where all trading cards want to be, is at those places. It gives you the most visibility and, you know, of any place it could possibly.
Yeah, that's true.
So I want to talk about some other alt sports. If you know what that means, it means alternative sports, not the main four. F1 and UFC are exploding, which is crazy to me. And I'll tell you why I think it's crazy. But let's look at these cards here. We've got a Lewis Hamilton gold rookie card that sold for $4,205 for a non-autographed card of Lewis Hamilton, which I know people are calling his rookie card, but he's like 38 years old, so it is the only card he has. It is probably going to be his best. That doesn't shock me as much as this Conor McGregor ninth year Conor McGregor at this point?
Isn't Conor McGregor, didn't he retire?
I think so.
He retired three times and then he came back.
Oh, okay.
So this is what's just befuddling to me. $15,000 for a gold, non-autographed Conor McGregor, 8th, 9th, 10th. I don't know what year card it would be for him.
She's a beauty, lad.
And you look at his first auto from Topps, rookie auto, $6,000.
Graded.
And graded.
I actually don't understand.
Yeah, neither do I.
I don't get it.
I'm trying to understand it too.
But, and Conrad will probably be able to answer this. I don't watch a lot of UFC. Is McGregor the best to ever do it? Is he the Jordan of UFC? Is he the LeBron James of UFC? Is he hands down, without a doubt, the best to ever do it.
He's the most prolific and hyped. I don't know if you want to say he's the greatest to ever do it, but he's the most recognizable name in the sport. You can make an argument that George St. Pierre could be the GOAT. You can make an argument that Hoist Gracie's the GOAT. You can make an argument that, I mean, maybe not Ken Shamrock. Ken Shamrock did a lot for the sport. John Jones. I think this guy just had the loudest mouthpiece.
A lot of GOATs.
But I'm not as much of an expert as C-Rad over here on UFC. No, that would be my take.
No, I mean, is he?
He's the most marketable.
Is he LeBron James?
He is.
Is he Michael Jordan?
No.
Is he like Allen Iverson?
He's. How do I compare it? He's not the GOAT, obviously. He was just somebody that was very, very important for the sport to blow it up. Even the reason that UFC even was able to sell the company for $4 billion.
Is he Steph Curry?
Mainly.
If you had to attach him to a basketball player in history, like where is he?
Yeah, that's kind of tough because
for what he's done in the ring.
Market wise, just think about who blew up the basketball market the most.
Kobe Bryant.
Maybe more of like a Shaq.
No, Kobe Bryant took NBA into the international
business.
Business wise,
that's a good point.
Okay, so Conor McGregor,
yeah,
Kobe Bryant.
I would say that's pretty fair. Oh, sir,
because he's
not the GOAT.
You wouldn't consider Kobe Bryant Kobe Bryant did a lot for the sport, but you wouldn't consider him like a better player than LeBron James or a better player than Michael Jordan.
Not necessarily. I think if you ask a Laker fan, then they might say he is. But
this is, you know, and the main point I wanted to bring up on this is the fact that this Conor card from 2013 UFC Bloodlines, you can see that it says first autograph. UFC collectors coveted that as the first Bowman. So that is the equivalent if you're collecting Mike Trout or Ronald Acuna. That is the equivalent of the Trout 2009 draft Trout auto or the 2017 Ronald Acuna auto.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This should be his absolute best card, hands down. This should be the highest selling card of Conor McGregor. This should be the only one that you would want.
I'm glad you went this direction because I have a rebuttal.
Why?
I can't believe I didn't say Conor McDavid.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor, David. 15,000. Now, don't know if that got paid, so there's a chance it just got shill bit up. But
yeah,
why would somebody want that card when you can buy two of his first autographs?
Dose.
Okay, so last week, I think it was last week or a week and a half ago, there was a guy in the chat room when I was breaking UFC. He kept going on and on about, like, I was like, damn, like, it's crazy how much UFC Prism is going for, right? And we were all talking about it, and he was like, all the OGs know, the triple OGs, they all go for the Topps Chrome. It's the Chrome. That's the one that people, I was like, bro, I'll tell you what, I was trying to sell Topps Chrome UFC for 10 years, and nobody was buying it, bro. So my whole point, and we talked about this before, what we thought of the hobby when it was like this small and the hobby being this big now, it's changing and evolving every single day. So what we as like people who love Chrome and consider Chrome the god tier base card or rookie card, right?
It's about that time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about that time.
So like the new generation is telling us that they want this UFC Prism is basically what's happening. Like that first Bowman or first rookie Conor, maybe they maybe the Chrome doesn't have the same, it doesn't give these new collectors the same feeling.
I bet you could sell some Chrome right now if you had some though.
I bet some people would buy some
UFC Chrome right now.
And this was UFC Bloodlines, which was obviously not a flagship Topps brand. It was
okay,
UFC,
so that wasn't Chrome either.
But it was because that's how his career started. It was right when UFC Bloodlines were coming out. Nobody knew about Conor McGregor at that time in 2013.
What's UFC Bloodlines? Is that like?
It's like
a set, right?
It had like 10 hits, 5 mini boxes, 2 hits. We've done some in the past.
Yeah, the point basically
but,
I'm trying
but
to
there
say
was,
is that,
but does he not have does Conor McGregor not
he,
have
he,
a Topps Chrome?
He has a first rookie Chrome.
He has a Chrome, right?
But no, it doesn't say first though. They only reserve the first for the actual first.
For the actual first, yeah, it doesn't matter what product
right,
it is.
Right.
Okay. Wow, and that was the first card that he had.
Yes, first auto.
First auto.
I don't know if he had a trade,
but it wasn't Chrome, right? So my basically
so that's why I'm confused. I'm thinking to myself, are people just not, like, goes back to that thing we're talking about. Are people just not educated?
His first Chrome has to go for probably more than that card.
No,
then.
No,
I think
not at all.
What you're saying, like, people are not educated. At the same time, people don't care about being educated.
True.
Like, they want what's they want the first UFC Prism, is what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, if you look, it's going to be all Prism. I'm going on eBay right now just to see what people what is there a card I'm missing? That there's maybe a card that's higher. Did I not spell this right? Why am I not? Conor McGregor rookie. I'm trying to see if there's something more valuable. But to my knowledge, from the years that I've collected and I've seen these Conors, that is the one you want. So it's just crazy to me that a card, yeah, see the UFC Champions autograph 2015. People are calling a rookie on that one, which it's not. Did I spell McGregor wrong? Conor McGregor.
There's one N in Conor. That might be it.
Oh, could be it. Yeah, it's all the bloodlines.
It's the bloodline.
Mm-hmm. Is the highest selling one. I mean, is there a Conor McGregor
Chrome?
Oh, right there, orange refractor. That's 2017, but that's just what somebody's asking. Let's see, Chrome tops. Let's see what just to compare. I know we're doing this on the fly. Let me see if any of these have sold for anywhere near. So yeah, I mean. Not even close to
15,000
on Topps Chrome. Looks like he didn't make an appearance in Topps Chrome for a while. That 2013 Bloodlines was his first, and then it didn't look like there was a Chrome until around 17, which he did have on card autos in that, and they go for 3,000 to 4,000, but it doesn't go for Prism. So, yeah, I understand your argument, but there's no Prism LeBron that sells for more than the 03-04 Chrome. There's no Kobe that sells for more than the 98 Chrome. So why in this instance, it's like UFC fans completely forgot that there was other products of UFC.
They didn't forget. I said this on the stream when I was breaking UFC 2. They didn't forget, Doug. It's just that nobody collected UFC.
Yeah, yeah. And you're right. You're right.
There was nobody that collected UFC. There's five people in the world that collected UFC. So they don't know. They don't care about the first rookie.
I mean, well, let's face it. If it was a super lucrative license,
Topps
wouldn't let it go.
Yeah.
So the LeBron, you know, like all these like guys who do have Chrome rookies, like yes, those are gonna like, that's what we love, right? But dude, who knows?
Because there could be
a point in time when people don't want the Chrome rookie as much. I don't know. We don't know.
We don't know. It's changing.
Let's say that Panini never got the license, right? And Topps sort of went around and kept on producing UFC with like the Chrome and Bloodlines, and they had a couple other ones. I think they had like maybe six releases
Museum
a year.
Museum Collection
was one. I don't think anybody would have cared. No. We wouldn't have been opening it and breaking it.
No.
Is Panini better at marketing than Topps? I mean, in my opinion, they're both fairly bad at marketing.
I think you can do Prism anything right now.
I mean, yeah.
No,
you're right.
And
dude.
Mark my word. I mean, Panini does have that esports license. Mm-hmm. I think if they came out with Prism Esports, it would go for well more than like $120 a box.
Yeah.
It would be.
Oh, yeah.
It would probably be like a $300 to $400 box.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Some of those big Twitch names and stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Oh man, those cards would be crazy. You're right.
Yeah, Prism. I guess. Yeah. I mean, and that's where you got to give props to Panini that they started with Prism in 12-13 with basketball, and it's transcended the sports card hobby. And you know, it's kind of the go-to. It's kind of the Coca-Cola, I guess, of sodas. It's the Kleenex of tissues. It's the become the trading card moniker, the brand. So everything it touches, it turns to gold. No pun intended with this gold McGregor.
They haven't released an esports product yet.
No, not yet that I know of.
I haven't seen.
They may have done like some like Panini Instant esport cards.
Yeah,
but I don't think they've done a Prism. I know they do NASCAR.
Yeah, well, look, there you go, Ron. Ron does have a good point. It's because nobody cares about NASCAR, and I know that crushes Dan's heart. It really does with his Chase Elliott. He was going to wear it if it wasn't so hot today, but he Prism NASCAR, nobody seems to care. So
maybe
you know someday
what?
That'll change.
You know what? Then buy all the Prism NASCAR you could find, because that will change at some point.
To your point, the first Prism NASCAR, which I believe was 16 or 17, I think it was 17. Those boxes are like $500 or $600. They were originally 100, so they have gone up a little bit, but not like what we're seeing with UFC.
First year Prism.
But that's pretty much all we got for the show. Make sure you guys enter in to win this box. 2021 score. You got to comment on the Mojo Break Media video of the show, which is show at 189. You got to comment in the comment below. Make sure you're subscribed as well and tell us who your favorite rookie of the 2021 NFL rookie class is. And we'll take those names, we'll random them, and there'll be a winner. Somebody will get a score hobby box. So make sure you check out mojobreak.com for your breaks. We've got more golf artifacts, 2021 golf artifacts. We got more UFC Prism. We got more F1. We got more Score. We got more Bowman. I mean, there's so many releases that we're doing. Check out the schedule. If you go on our site, mojobreak.com, if you're on the computer, the schedule's on the right side of the site. All those times are where we schedule every break, so you can see when everything's breaking. And if you're on your mobile, scroll down to the bottom, you'll see our schedule. And if you want sealed wax, go to mojobreakshop.com, and we'll ship those boxes to your door, and you can be your own breaker. Put that stuff on YouTube yourself. Make your own content. All right, guys. For now, we'll see you guys next week on episode 190. Peace out.